Welcome to New American Radio, a series exploring new territories for the art of radio.
In its 10 years as a weekly national series from 1987 to 1998, New American Radio commissioned and distributed over 300 original works. Conceptual new drama, associational documentary, language explorations, sonic meditations, environmental compositions, musical explorations, and works that pioneer new dimensions in acoustic space. Wave Farm is thrilled to partner with New American Radio to ensure these works remain available to listeners today and into the future. New American Radio was organized by Helen Thorington, executive producer, and Regina Beyer, associate producer. A special thanks to both Helen Thorington and Joanne Green for their generous support and collaboration in this partnership. Up next is Hearing Things by Ron Kuvila. Thank you for listening.
Say something. Okay, very good.
It's working.
Okay. Say something.
Another one of those, and then a bunch more like it.
Okay, very good.
It's working.
Okay. Say something.
By sex.
Then onto a disc.
Okay, very good.
It's working.
Okay. Say something.
Don't struggle, dear. Just drift.
Silence and darkness are very powerful. They seem to be things that people want to avoid. I'd like to write a piece that was extremely quiet and where the room was almost completely dark and would go on for a long time in some attempt to make people afraid in a completely non-threatening environment.
Couldn't hear at all. Couldn't hear at all. Couldn't hear at all. Unless it was like in the subway where it was ridiculous, but just normal ambient noise wasn't there.
The problem is a lot of noises, you know, like the wind noise.
So those little ones, you know, that push into your ear, hurt these little ear hairs right here. Very much. On me. Maybe I'm sensitive ear hairs or something. But I can't use those. They really hurt my ear hairs. They really get really irritating really quickly.
It was never part of my education. I never understood it because I never had to do it. The sound had a meaning that was almost divorced from the sound. That the idea was that you were asked to listen to what kind of tonal relationship something had to something else. You were not expected to be conscious of it as a physical sound.
Just cavities in the body can vibrate.
I've been messed up by having absolute pitch. I had my ear tuned to a European piano. It was tuned to a very low A, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a standard concert A. I can't get the early pitch out of my head. I don't have trouble identifying intervals or anything like that, but I do have trouble identifying pitches, and that scares me. There was a time when I wanted to be liberated from that consciousness. I wanted to be able to experience pure sound without naming it. But I do have trouble identifying pitches, and that scares me.
Chest cavities, ear cavities, chest cavities, ear cavities, the chest cavities and other ear cavities, chest cavities, ear cavities, chest cavities, ear cavities, the chest cavities and other ear cavities and other cavities in the body can vibrate.
But not with a piece of music.
Some people think that the main purpose of hearing is the identification of potential attackers or the identification of prey. For example, the barn owl hears the mouse rustling around on the ground and can accurately localize where the mouse is in elevation and make a dive toward it and snap it up. That description is terribly anthropomorphic, I think. If you're an owl, do you have the sense that, you know, this is a mouse? Or is it more like walking along a certain distance from a wall and I don't even have to think about how to navigate through the narrow passage? The moment a sound becomes what we call identity, it's already passed into some kind of linguistic phenomenon, and it's out of this same kind of identity that people speak about when they talk about localizing events of some kind that we see in the animal kingdom.
The problem is that a lot of noises, you know, like the wind noise, the wind can go back and go skipping and hopping and hopping, so they can have a number of multiple reflections. I've even forgot what the frequency was. I think it's about 6 hertz, 7 hertz, something like that. So a story from Japan that it really did happen. When there is a right frequency like 6 hertz or something like that, the chest cavities and other ear cavities and other cavities in the body can vibrate and can make you sick. My friend Tahira said that in Japan there was an old bridge. And there's a middle-aged lady living near the bridge, and she had been complaining all the time about this bridge vibrating and making her sick. And nobody paid much attention. Apparently, one day she committed suicide. And we did detect low-frequency sound, infrasound. I even forgot what the frequency was. I think it's about 6 hertz, 7 hertz, something like that. The bridge is acting like a huge bar, and which is set into oscillation, which produces a number of different frequencies. And one of them happened to be this infrasound.
I found listening to music a total waste of time because it didn't give you any information. In my spare time, I'd much rather read a book than listen to a piece of music, because listening to a piece of music didn't get you anywhere. It was kind of like taking time out from goal-oriented activities, like having read a book and you now knew something you didn't know before. Whereas if you listen to a piece, so what? Having listened to the piece the year before doesn't make one bit of difference. You still have to listen to the damn piece all over again. Whereas if you've read the book, you might be able to go in the next year, remember just enough about it that you don't have to listen to read every damn detail all over again, right? But not with a piece of music.
Is that cannon fire? Or is it my heart pounding?
Hearing things.
I wonder how it works. I haven't the slightest idea. To me, it might as well be voodoo.
It resists location. You have some sense that you're calling somewhere, but where is it? You know, do you imagine a map in your mind of Los Angeles when you call someone? You imagine your telephone call in a sense like a big projectile moving from across the country and dropping somewhere into the middle of 914 area code.
007, please speak now. Beep.
Say something.
It's working. Okay.
Okay.
I hear things as disembodied sound.
The spaces between the words are just as important as the words themselves.
Hearing things.
I was listening in the car radio to a song that Bing Crosby and Louis Armstrong made, and I was thinking, gee, in an age of radio, you could really think these people were alive. You wouldn't have any expectations that you would ever see them. And in some ways, it's much more comforting because this is as alive as anybody would ever get.
Talking on the phone is, in a sense, like closing your eyes. But you don't need to close your eyes, and you're there. Whereas with the picture phone, your eyes are open, and you are shown something. Well, on the surface, your presence is enhanced by this image of what's going on somewhere else. There's more of a disconnection. It seems less intimate if there's no... I mean, no one would call someone else just to look at someone else in New York or something.
We are unable to talk to you at this moment. At the sound of a tone, you can leave a message by talking through the telephone. Your name, company, telephone number, and a brief message. The answering machine will continue to record as long as you continue to talk. We will return you a call as soon as possible.
I used to work for a company that was in New York from California, and much of my day would be spent on the phone. I would find a completely different experience when I was there. Two things happened. One was that I could get a lot more done, and the second thing happened was that I hated these people in person that I could get along with on the phone. That they were, there was too much there. You know, you only talk to people on the phone for years often without seeing them every day for an hour, and then you have to be around them. You have to deal with their personal habits that were completely invisible to you on the phone. Things like, well, what do you want to eat for dinner? It would never come up in a sense, a kind of immaterial relationship that you would have by just speaking to them.
Meteorites, when they fall, they produce infrasound. In fact, the Great Siberian Meteor in the 1916 or something, they produced infrasound which went around the globe a couple of times, like just very much like a nuclear explosion. Chest cavities, ear cavities. There is a cavity in their body. There is some way of communication between elephants over long distances. The elephants do communicate using infrasound. There is a cavity in their body that vibrates and produces this infrasound with which they communicate. It's the most fantastic thing.
This is an Arbitron book. It's a 250-page spring rating book for the Chicago market. That's where we have a station, WVAZ, which is a Black Adult Contemporary station, which means no rap. And it lists the ratings for stations in a number of different categories. Everybody from the ages of 18 to 34. The same category for everybody from the ages of 25 to 54, which, by the way, is probably the single most important from the point of view of advertisers, because these are people that tend to be in their prime buying years. Then further categories, people 12 to 24, youth, and even younger, you get into a 12 to 17 age group, which nobody cares about because they don't buy anything. Among the top 10 radio stations in terms of audience share, you have a so-called middle of the road, which is kind of bland pop music and news and information. You have a black station, or urban contemporary, which is almost exclusively aimed at the black audience, which is pretty big in that city. You have a news talk station, purely news talk. You have a contemporary hit radio, which is rock and roll. A country station and an easy listening station, which is elevator music. A jazz new age station. A so-called soft adult contemporary, which is kind of sleepy adult rock and roll, like Phil Collins toned down. An adult contemporary station, which is Phil Collins toned up. An album-oriented rock, which is the old 70s FM freeform kind of music. Another one of those, and then a bunch more like it.
I couldn't hear at all. Then I couldn't hear at all. So the music sounded really good.
I'll tell you something interesting. Oh, I don't know if I should say this on a tape or not. What kids are doing when they're going around listening to music is that they're experiencing sex. That's what they're really doing. They're experiencing sex.
You have violated a protected area. The police were called. Leave immediately. You have violated a protected area. The police were called. Leave immediately.
Venkatesha Suprabhatam, which is the wake-up chant for the Lord of Tirupati, you could hear it only in Tirupati on the top of this hill at a certain hour in the morning when it is sung to the Lord to wake him up. But one of the great singers of our times, named M.S. Subbalakshmi, was a devotee of this god. And as part of her devotion, she made a record of this chant and sang this onto a disc. And this record of chants wakes up not only the Lord, but anyone who tunes into All India Radio in faraway places, because the All India Radio used it as a kind of signature tune every morning at 7 o'clock. Actually, I heard it once in Wisconsin, over a glass of whiskey, sitting with an American friend who had gone to India, who had studied Tamil. He had brought back this tape of the Venkatesha Suprabhatam, this chant. And he said, "Do you want to hear it?" I said, "All right." And then we were sitting there in Wisconsin, far away from Tirupati, and he played it in the afternoon, so at 7 o'clock in the morning. And then as I heard it, I was filled with tears, my eyes filled with tears, because all sorts of complicated emotions of being in a different place and still being home and hearing this wonderful chant sort of stirred in me. But through those complicated emotions and through my tears, when I heard M.S. Subbalakshmi, I felt that her Sanskrit words were not accurately pronounced, especially in the aspiration, in the aspirated consonants, because she is a Tamil Dravidian singer. Her language does not have aspirates. Her Sanskrit aspirates come and go, it seemed to me. And I would never have noticed it if I were fully contextualized, if I were back in Tirupati listening to this wonderful chant. I would have been so taken up with it, I would not have paid attention to the phonetics.
Would quaint loxies resonate feverish meath? Would quaint loxies resonate feverish meath? Something, it was ut re mi fa sol la ti do. And they would learn this song. They could then learn songs from looking at a score without ever having been taught them before. And this was an enormous breakthrough, the idea that you didn't literally have to pass it on like fire, you know, pass it on with like a lighted fire to somebody else. And if you didn't get it live, it was going to die, that it could just sit there on a paper and somebody could pick it up and resurrect it.
I resisted for a long time walking around the street with headphones and a Walkman, because first of all, I thought it was not so cool, and second of all, I thought it was possibly dangerous, at least for me, because I get so involved in whatever I'm listening to. When I started doing it, I it's like you're going from loud to not loud, you're going from car noise to camp music, you're going from dirty, hot air to air conditioning. So all of these environmental cues change because the sound landscape doesn't change very much. It's disorienting.
So I was trying to explain what it was.
It's not separate. It is all interrelated.
It was a kind of relationship to music that probably mostly everybody has that I had missed out on.
It can happen. You know, you have all the instruments there. What do you do?
Yeah, and you put the cassette in it and hundreds of different songs. I had that little one that you opened up and it unfolded a little bit. It was actually silvery black and blue. Very, very nice. And it ran on one AA battery for 4 hours. It was great. Stereo, Dolby, $60. No radio.
You get accustomed to a certain information level.
He doesn't agree with that. He thinks that that's kind of an exaggerated modern viewpoint.
So if you and I have a conversation and there's no music on in the background, there's something wrong.
So, you know, we want to know both the song title and the artist's name and tempo.
A film with no music. It just seems too painful.
Nasty reviews and things like that.
If you're at the beach, which appears to be a perfect film for whatever is going on, and yet people would play music to accompany their little picnic, there's almost an overload of these background elements that people miss from the urban environment that they have to reintroduce because they're in a sense unable to deal with sparseness.
I wonder what they do in concerts. Do they just sit and associate? What do they do? I have no idea what they do. I mean, in nice melodic music, I can see it, they get emotional.
The most prominent case of that is heavy metal, a youth male-oriented style of music that is generally advertiser death.
Heterophony is never the right answer in a class on Western music. Doesn't matter. You'll say, what's the texture? What's the rhythm? And the answer is heterophony, even after you've told them this is a wrong answer.
It's not separate. It is all interrelated. And scientists have their own little quarrels and, emotional things and things like that.
He had really identified with this music, and at the same time, he had just laughed at himself. How could you take this music seriously? It's so cornball. But it really spoke to something in him.
We have a, meter that each person sitting in the auditorium has to turn a dial and play the audience who have volunteered to come and sit and listen, who are chosen to be representative of our target listening group. Samples of hundreds of different songs. We learn what kind of tempos the audience wants at certain times of day. We learn how much news and information they want or don't want at certain times of day. We learn what kind of frequency of repetition of songs they like and don't like. With all that information, we program a music playlist generating computer.
There was a period in which I couldn't be without a radio. I had to have a radio everywhere I went. It was a real classic midlife crisis, and I suddenly found myself listening to pop music, and then never listened to it again. Once in a while, I'll put on the radio, and I'll listen. As I say, I'll hear one of those pieces, and I'll think, oh, yeah, that's from that year, but it's gone now.
We want to achieve in any randomly selected 15 or 20-minute period during the day in which music is played, any period, a representative sample of what our audience wants to hear.
I had this funding for the Lightning, and it was a very powerful tool, and people were very excited about it. And I had funding for 2 years, and then unfortunately, that year there were no thunderstorms in that area. It can happen. Right. You have all the instruments there and no thunderstorms. What do you do? And by the time next year renewal came, they said we didn't get any results, and they cut off the funding, which is like a stupid thing because everything was ready to go. And another 2 years of funding would have produced lot of results. But no, they were impatient about it.
Oh yeah, that's from that year, but it's gone now. The other day I sat down to write translations of these texts. Have you looked at that text? It is incredibly racist. I hadn't realized it. Maybe the truth is that the very genius that allows the culture to build these great edifices that are open to that kind of analysis is inseparable from the possibility of these kinds of texts. He doesn't agree with that. He thinks that that's kind of an exaggerated modern viewpoint.
Finally, everybody agreed, and then the funding ran out.
I don't know what I think, but I really wanted to understand why the sky was blue.
Tirupati, Tirupati.
AA battery. AA battery.
Punching machine. Punching machine.
European piano.
Los Angeles. Projectile.
European piano.
Los Angeles. Projectile.
Computer. Computer.
Barnell. Californian. Barnell. Californian. Prey.
Score.
Telephone.
Prey.
Score.
Telephone.
Walkman. Walkman. Beach.
Thunderstorms.
Wisconsin.
Beach.
Thunderstorms.
Wisconsin.
Attackers. Attackers.
Auditorium heavy metal.
Phonetics.
Silence.
Songs. Auditorium heavy metal.
Phonetics.
Silence.
Songs.
Mouse. Mouse. Darkness.
Japan. Lightning.
Darkness.
Japan. Lightning.
Radio.
Sanskrit.
Radio.
Sanskrit.
Chicago.
Meteorite.
Music.
New York. Picture phone.
Chicago.
Meteorite.
Music.
New York. Picture phone.
Headphones.
Record.
Headphones.
Record.
Cavities.
Ear hairs.
Eyes. New York.
Pounding.
Cavities.
Ear hairs.
Eyes. New York.
Pounding.
Signature. Signature.
Bridge.
Chant. Disc.
Film.
Instrument.
Radio.
Words.
Bridge.
Chant. Disc.
Film.
Instrument.
Radio.
Words.
Radio.
Sex.
Spaces.
Radio.
Sex.
Spaces.
Radio.
Sex.
Spaces.
Radio.
Sex.
Spaces.
Tirupati. Disc.
Elephants.
Intervals.
Playlist.
Disc.
Elephants.
Intervals.
Playlist.
Cannon.
Day.
Fire.
Fire.
Hill. Home.
Ladies.
Meter.
Find.
Road.
Whiskey.
Cannon.
Day.
Fire.
Fire.
Hill. Home.
Ladies.
Meter.
Find.
Road.
Whiskey.
Set. Set.
Bar.
Car.
Place.
Subway.
Telephone.
Tune.
Wall.
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 Hot. Music.
Peace.
Radio.
Sound.
Tears.
Voodoo.
Words.
Hot. Music.
Peace.
Radio.
Sound.
Tears.
Voodoo.
Words.
Elevator.
Head.
Map.
Morning.
Pitch. Sky.
Elevator.
Head.
Map.
Morning.
Pitch. Sky.
Country.
India.
Noise.
Phone.
Rap.
Song.
Country.
India.
Noise.
Phone.
Rap.
Song.
Country.
India.
Noise.
Phone.
Rap.
Song.
Body glove.
Paper.
Body glove.
Paper.
Body glove.
Paper.
Body glove.
Paper.
Tirupati.
Just gear front people. Win. Just gear front people. Win. Just gear front people. Win.
Tape hard. Tape hard. Tape hard. Tape hard.
Book book. Kids ear. Book book. Kids ear. Book book. Kids ear. 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 Ear.
Tirupati.
Say something.
Sex.
Then onto a disc.
Okay, very good.
It's working.
Okay. Say something.
Another one of those, and then a bunch more like it.
Okay, very good.
It's working.
Okay. Say something.
The literalness becomes thematic.
Okay, very good.
It's working.
Okay. Say something. Okay, very good.
It's working.
Okay. Say something.
It's over. I stopped listening.
That was Hearing Things, conceived and produced by Ron Quivala, with the voices of Nambath Balanchandran, Linda Gurr, Gerald Lindahl, Bill Tiersen, A.K. Ramanujan, Rose Sabotnik, and David Ziccarelli. Special thanks to all those who've made this program possible. Hearing Things is a commission of the 1991 New American Radio Series.
You just heard Hearing Things by Ron Quivala, broadcast by New American Radio.